For those of you that are watching my Facebook tonight, if you joined us tonight, if you watch it on a recorded play, you're going to hear this message tonight in its entirety called, Have You Been Cut? Have you been cut? The reason for that is because as we grow in the things of God, there are some things that we come into that we get cut. And how we respond determines how we heal from it.
Yes.
Wow.
That's true. How we respond to the cutting determines how fast or how long the healing process is going to take.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Okay.
It can heal sometimes just by leaving it alone. Right?
Yes.
Now, sometimes there's cuts that are so deep that you have to go seek attention.
Right.
Okay? And someone has to even cause you more pain before it even heals you.
Wow.
Come on.
Yes, come on.
Some of the things, can you give me this spotlight down just a little bit? That's the center one. All right, again, I'm the ship again. Put my suntan lotion on. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. When we get cut, we still got to go seek someone to help us, but we're still going to get hurt in the healing process even after we've been cut. So we don't seek to get healed because we don't want to get hurt again. Because we've already been cut once. We don't want to be cut again. But we will walk around showing everybody the scar.
Wow.
As a reminder, do you think to them or to you? It's to yourself, I've been cut before. To the people that are seeing the scars, oh, he's been cut. No big. They move on. They're not carrying the emotions attached to it. You're carrying the emotions that are attached to the scar, and you can't be healed because you don't want anybody to come speak into that area of the cut.
Yes.
And many people get cut in relationships.
Yes.
Trying.
Guilty.
That's
lame. Ooh, I'm trying.
Come on.
Speak.
Even though you know you shouldn't have been with so and so, you did it anyway. Because you did it, the cutting came, but it's okay because you chose it. And so you allowed the cutting to continue because it was your choice.
Right.
Becomes infected because the cutting continues, you don't allow it to heal.
Right.
And when a cut is infected, it begins to kill good skin and good tissue around you. So there's some good areas of your life that are full of faith, full of the Spirit, and begin to deteriorate because of that first cut.
Ooh, come on.
Wow.
That's right.
Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
And so we begin to favor the cut. Mm. And we've got to be careful with the cut. How many of you have been cut before?
Mm.
It's time to move on past this cut.
Amen.
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 Let's move on past the cut.
Amen. Help us, Lord.
It is necessary for us.
Yes,
sir. But the reason for the cut is because he has a process for you to go through, and he has a predetermined place for you to arrive.
Amen.
Do you understand?
Amen.
Me?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
If you have your hand down, turn to Romans 8:14. Should be the main topic there on your handout. But if you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and turn to Romans 8:14, the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. And then again at verse 19. I'm going to read this to you because I want to answer a few questions to you. One is, what is sonship? What is sonship? Number two, how do we move into a position of sonship? Number three, who is leading you? If you have your handout, those questions are written there for you. And it's for you to question those questions to yourself and begin to have an understanding for you.
Amen.
For you. As you begin to get this understanding of what is sonship, how do you move into the position of sonship, and who is leading you, you will have a better understanding of where you're at in the kingdom of God.
Okay.
Right.
Now, in the Gospel of Romans, Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17, then we'll pick it up again at verse 19. I'm going to read out of the English Standard Version. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may be also glorified with him. Verse 19, for the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. Father, thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it's true yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you that it is by faith that we receive and it is by faith that we please. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that we please you because we believe by faith. Yes. Not by signs and wonders, but by faith we believe what you have said in your holy scriptures. We thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. All the sons in the house say, amen. We have to know what is sonship. Sonship is to understand that we are someone that is growing up. When we say sonship, is speaking of the sons of God. Now we understand that we are children of God, we're sons of God. Amen?
Yes.
Now, we look through scripture in the very beginning, God chose and began to create this heavens and the earth and begins to create all the animals, and then he chooses to create man.
Yes.
But when he created man, he looks into the firmament of heaven as he's speaking to the Holy Spirit, speaking to Jesus. He says, let us make man in
our
image. The image that we're made in is spirit.
Yes.
We are his spirit. He then begins to reach into the creation that he created, which is earth, and he reaches down to the very dirt, the dust of the earth, and he creates man. Now, I say this to you, not saying it to insult your intelligence, but I just want you to see this, that when he reaches down into his creation, he pulls from creation and puts his spirit in the creation.
Right.
Yeah. That spirit is him.
Yes.
And because we are sons of his spirit is in us.
Right.
Now, because creation was created, out of that same place that he created man came a spirit to try to get from the garden its purpose, which was the sons. Do you understand this? Satan came to tempt the sons of God. The reason for the tempting wasn't to get you to fall. That's the easy part. The reason for Satan to tempt the sons was to negate the possessions that the Father has given the sons. To negate the possessions that the Father has already given the Son for him as a blessing, as an inheritance, for him to steward and have dominion over. We begin to understand that God has always used someone here on earth to show his protocol of heaven here on earth. We can't get out of the way God has orchestrated heaven and earth. We have to walk in that order that he's called us to be in. So when he says that we are sons of God, it is not that he's talking to us now in the scripture in Romans about the Spirit. He's talking to us on how to live as sons here on earth. Are you understanding this? We have to learn how to live as sons here on earth, that if I know that I can go to my Father is not going to require of me to do something special to get his love. The love has already been instituted because out of him I came. And because where I came, I can go back to the authority as a son and not as a servant or just a creation. I am a son that I can go to the Father.
Amen. Amen.
And throughout the course of history, and I want you to hear this, We've only had someone leading us with what they know. And so we have a limited amount of understanding of heaven, then that's the only thing we're going to get from our fathers. And if that limitation is just there, and then we say we're done learning, there is another area that God wants to show us that we need to surrender to. We had it backwards. We thought if we just surrendered in our home, everything would be okay. Now, we've had some moms and dads and grandmas and aunties that have raised children that have a way of dealing with some rebellious children. Thank God for short ears. My grandmother had a hard time grabbing mine. But what they would do is they would begin to tell us when we're wrong, or they would begin to discipline us when we're wrong, and we got afraid of the discipline. So we go on through generations knowing that if someone looks at us wrong, mother, auntie, grandmother, dad, we learn to behave real quick. With just a look. The parenting skills may have been different in other homes, but whatever the case may be, everybody knew there was a look. And it was amazing how we grew up learning how to read lips real quick. When not even a word was even muttered. So we're conditioned already to understand that a certain look meant a certain thing. We're also conditioned to say, go see that twitch over there, go get that for me. Oh, some of y'all don't know anything about those switches we used to get. You had to peel off those leaves yourself, and you were the one getting it whipped by the thing that you just brought into your authority. You submit it to. You submit it to. Before they ever even hit you. We're conditioned.
That's right.
We're conditioned already that pain, the cutting, the emotional cutting, the pain, even when we're being disciplined, that we don't like it. So we go through ages and dispensations in the church, and we begin to grow in the more the knowledge and the revelation we have in the Word, we begin to grow in things, but yet we still haven't dealt with the conditioning aspect of being told when we're wrong. Come on. It got quiet. I wish I would have today. It got quiet. I was laughing a minute ago, now I'm going, We're still conditioned to be afraid to be disciplined. And now, in the age that we're in, we will see now that we have a generation of people feeling they're entitled to. Come on. They're entitled to get what they want to get when they want to get it, and as quick as they want to get it. They're entitled to it. So when you bring discipline, they're not conditioned anymore to submit.
Right.
Now they want to rebel. Some of y'all are looking at your kids. If your kids are in here, you're looking at your spouse. And going, stop it. Stop it. This message is for why? Oh, you.
That's right.
You know, we get a message. We hear the song. Ooh, that's for brother so and that's for sister. No, it's for why? Oh, you.
Amen.
And we don't like the discipline because we were conditioned when we submitted. We were being cut emotionally because it hurt when we were told the truth. So now we go to the church system, and now pastors are trying to be fathers to a generation that has been fatherless.
Come on, Pastor. Come
so now
on.
When they begin to try to father somebody, that means father, a Christian, a son or a daughter, they're not conditioned to submit. Because they have that entitlement spirit.
Come on.
Because they have the scar from being cut before.
Come on.
And they don't want discipline.
Come on.
But yet they want to be discipled.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
Disciple means disciplined.
Woo!
That's the good, disciplined Pastor. Ones.
Wow.
But don't tell me truth. Ooh. Mm. The last lie, Jeremiah. Mm. We need to cut some things. Mm-mm-mm. How many of you have seen The Blind Side with Sandra Bullock and Yana? Yeah. That's a good movie, right? Good movie?
Yeah.
My favorite part, my favorite part is when she's talking to her husband, Tim McGraw, in the movie about the son that they've adopted. I'll preach off of this movie alone. This boy didn't have the right parenting.
Right.
Didn't have the right parenting. The father was not there.
Right.
Had lived a very tumultuous life. Had been in and out of things, you know. Yes. But he had a genuine heart.
Yes. Yes.
And the character that Sandra Bullock played saw the intention in his heart. Mm. Now, went from having nothing to living in a mansion.
Come on, that's good. Come on.
Woo! From having nothing to having a mansion.
Amen.
From having nothing to getting a driver's license.
Woo!
Yes. Why is that important? Found identity in the house.
Amen.
Because when a father and a mother step into someone that hasn't had a spiritual parent in their life, order begins to come into place. You get in from one place to another and you find your identity in the house.
Wow. Come on, that's good, Pastor.
Then in the movie, he gets the license, but then he gets a vehicle. Mm-hmm. When you come from nothing, come under authority, come under submission, you find your identity and your ministry is now being birthed because you come into the house. Submitted to that authority, you still have a responsibility to pay attention. Because from the house, my God, today hear this, even finding identity and finding ministry and finding purpose, if you're not paying attention, you can cause injury to somebody else. The next generation.
Come on.
In that movie, there was an accident.
Yes.
And in that accident, there was a young boy from that house that got wounded.
Yes.
Come on now. You can go from one place to another that wasn't built by your hands, but God built it for you.
Amen.
You got to make it a priority to submit.
Yes, sir.
And you've got to understand, you've got to listen and pay attention.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, I got some amens now.
Amen.
When you pay attention and you submit, you are aligning yourself with the protocol of heaven, God's mandated order. You begin to see the materialization of the promises that he's giving you.
Amen.
Because you come into that place of preparedness, getting ready for your blessing, because there's a certain time that your blessing's about to show up and you just need to be prepared as you get there. So the mantra out of this ministry is, don't get ready, stay ready.
Amen.
So I'm not going to tell you the whole movie. I know you've seen it. But you can see some spiritual context there, can you not? You'll probably look at that movie and get like, dang, Pastor, you got that?
Yes, that's good.
Protected him. Yes. Protected the next generation that was looking up to him.
Yes.
Came from nothing into a mansion. Got identity. Ministry was birthed. Ministry gets birth, but because of not paying attention, the generation that is following also gets hurt. Now there's a cut.
Wow. That's good.
Now there's a cut on the other generation. Mm. An unintentional cut, but nevertheless, the cut.
Mm.
Are you seeing this?
Yes.
Let's bring it back into, you know, the holiness time. So here we are, now understanding that there is a mandate from heaven.
Yes.
That when we submit to authority, we're submitting to what God has called us to do. And that purpose is so that he can get to you your right identity. To have an understanding who you really are. And the more you understand who you are and you begin to listen and pay attention, you can become more mature in the thing that God has called you to become. But when we don't settle and submit, we jump around, hop around, and never plant and root ourselves, what winds up happening is we become more of the bastard son than we do a true son. There's many teachers, but not many fathers. We have to understand, don't go out there and be a bastard child. Submit to the spiritual authority. That spiritual authority is God placing in life. And when you submit to that, what happens is you begin to grow
yes.
in the things that God wants you to grow in.
Yes.
Even if you haven't done anything but just sit down. But when you said in your heart, I surrender.
Yes.
That thing that has been over you lives.
Amen.
Then God can get to you through you without you fighting against him.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
Amen.
Because all that protective coating was for was to protect you from being hurt.
Amen.
Being a son, when I say sons, that speaks of daughters. You understand?
Yeah.
For sake of time, I'm not going sons and daughters the whole time. It's sons. We have to understand that we're sons not by our emotions and our intellect, but by our heart. And when we submit, there's times that you're going to be cut even by your authority. I don't think they hear me, Jordan.
Come on.
Even in the house you're submitted to, you're going to be cut. You're going to be cut. Back to the movie. She's starting to find out some things about the son, the adopted son. And so the husband tells her as they're there in bed, just contemplating a certain thing. He says, well, it's like the onion. You got to peel each layer back. She ain't got time for that. That takes too long. Well, you got to peel every layer. There's a lot of layers. She says, not if you have a knife. Cut it, and you get right to the center. You get to the core. Let me talk to some folks in here because I want y'all mad at me. I love y'all.
Come on.
Now look, if you've been cut in ministry, it's because you need to be cut. We need to remove the foreskin of your will, your emotions. And when spiritual authority, pastors, apostles, they come in and speak into your life truth, submit to it. Even when it hurts. But know your father's voice. And before you get all religious on me and say, well, I hear God's voice. No. Know your spiritual authority's voice. And when you know that, you can submit. And when you submit to that, my God, today, you have allowed yourself to receive the corporate anointing of the house.
Amen.
In everything that you do. The corporate anointing also has a corporate breaking yoke, destroying power that goes with you everywhere you go because you submitted and rooted and planted into a house, to a father, to a mother that says, I'm looking out for you, I'm praying for you, I believe what God is doing to you. Even when I speak truth to you, you don't buck, you don't get mad. You say yes, you receive, and you said not my will, but your will be done. Anointing that begins to magnify in your life.
Wow. Amen.
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 How can I preach from this? Because I've been that knucklehead. I've been the one bucking pastors that were over my life. And ashamed of it at times. Because my arrogance and my pride took over. Ask God to forgive me. Forgive me, God. Because I didn't give him my all while I was there. Because it was all about me. But we got to understand, there is a sound in the heavens that are reverberating right now. Real fathers, spiritual fathers and mothers are being raised up in this hour with an apostolic anointing to raise true sons and daughters.
Amen.
And as the true sons and daughters are raised up, my God, not only are they going to be released, they're going to be sent.
Amen.
With power and authority.
Amen.
With power and authority.
Amen.
And because I repented and because I went to the people that I hurt, I said in the pulpit, they handed me the mic, say what's on your heart. They wanted me to prophesy. I said, I don't have anything prophetic, but what I do have is to ask for forgiveness. If I've done anything that has offended, hurt, wounded, or spoken against you, I ask you to forgive me. To the set man of the house. Amen. And in front of the whole church. And that's when I felt that come off.
Amen.
Are you understanding this?
Amen.
So I can minister from this from both sides of the coin. There are times that we don't like to hear truth. But we're still sons.
Yes.
Do you understand? We're still rooted. And if we allow that to take place, we can begin to grow and mature in the things that God has called us and mandated us to do.
Yeah.
It's when we think that we can do things different or better than where we're at. Be careful. You just went to the emotional side and not the spirit side.
Wow.
Careful. 1 Kings 19, in your handouts, it is there. I'm going to read out of the NIV. 1 Kings 19, verses 15 through 18, watch this. The reason I put this in here is how do we select sons and daughters? If you're an apostle, an emerging apostle, or pastors, how do you select the spiritual sons and daughters from amongst the masses? Think about it. How do you know? With 1,000 that are in here, you can't see them, there's 1,000 in here.
Maybe one day. Amen.
Like,
amen.
I, there's two of y'all.
Amen.
Or 1,000. I preach the same every single time.
Amen.
Come on.
Come on.
Amen.
Here's the thing. Oh, I love it. I love it. Amongst the masses, how do you know the true sons and daughters? Amongst 1,000. How will you know? Ask yourself that question. How were the apostles, how were the pastors, emerging apostles, emerging pastors? How would you know? How do you select them? I want you to remember this. You know the story when David was going to get anointed as king?
Yes.
The prophet comes?
Yes.
Goes into the house of Jesse? Jesse quickly goes to the eldest son first,
yes.
Which would have been correct. So Saul's like, that's got to be the one. And getting ready. And immediately, Samuel had a backup too. God says, not him. Son after son after son. I says, we're just going to bless someone. But the one doing what he was doing, the one that got overlooked, the one that wasn't thought about, the one that was said couldn't be this one. Maybe because it was an illegitimate son. I'm just saying, that's the one. When they brought him in, David, the one that was overlooked, the one that they didn't think could do it, better hear this, whoever this is for, the one that you felt like you've always been doing the hard work while everybody else had the easy road. You've had to labor through everything, you've had to fight through everything, and everybody else got the silver spoon. Maybe you were the one that was forgotten by your mom, by your dad, maybe even by your own brothers, your own sisters, you were forgotten. But God hasn't forgotten you. He's seen you in that field continuing serving Him. But God's getting ready to bring you to serve in the kingdom.
Amen. Amen.
1 Kings 19, verses 15 through 18. The Lord said to him, go back the way you came and go to the desert, Damascus. When you get there, anoint Ahazel, king over him. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat. And Abiel, Melech, to succeed you as a prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Ahazel. Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal, and whose mouths have not been kissed. The reason I put 1 Kings in there is because when we feel like things are just passing us by, we've been overlooked, things are taking place, God still has a plan and a purpose for your life.
Amen.
For His greater purpose and His greatest, for His kingdom, for the greatest move that is about to take place. But Amen. You feel like you may be insignificant. You feel like you want to quit and want to throw in the towel. Maybe you feel like you just don't want to continue on the way you want to quit. And this is what was going on through the prophet's mind. At this point, I just wanted to die. And God comes and says, I got purpose for you. I have the kingdom plan in you. You're just going through a season right now.
Amen.
You're just going through something right now you don't quite understand. And what I have to do to make you understand what my purpose and plan and mandate for your life is, I need to train you how to become a father. And I'm going to send you to someone that already knows how to be a son. And you're going to get to, my God, you're going to get to the one that's going to take your place. Watch this. Why? We have to see that succession is always in line with what God wants to do. Is you got to outpour everything that you are into somebody else so they can succeed and proceed further than you've ever been. You've got to take them to a certain place, and from that place, God will take them the furthest they can go.
Amen.
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 So now he gets over there and he sees his, the son that is plowing. Who was that? I think it was a very powerful man.
Elisha.
Was it Elisha? Isn't it something? Elijah and Elisha. I always thought that was strange in the Bible when I read Elijah and Elisha. Somebody made a mistake when they were interpreting. That's all I'm thinking. But then it hit me. Is that your sons and daughters amongst the masses will have a resemblance of you already.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. That's good. Hallelujah.
Will always have a resemblance of you. Maybe there is something inside of them that you have the ability to unlock that is just like you. That when they begin to move and prophesy, they'll say, you come from that man. You operate like that woman. You operate like the auspice of that house. Why? Because in the masses, you can begin to see and begin to recognize someone like you. And it's not on the negative. It's what God has already instituted in you, is the spirit of sonship in you. You see the spirit of sonship in them. And then you can say, I see the heart of a son that wants to be cultivated as a son. And I don't know how to be a father yet, but when I get to my son will teach me how to be a father. When I saw that Elijah and Elisha, I was like, my God, too much coincidence. That's just a coincidence. Ain't no coincidence with God.
That's right.
Everything's purposed.
Yes.
Everything is purposed.
Yes.
I found it interesting. Watch this. I'm going to just share a quick little nugget with you. The prophet Elijah was never found in the school of the prophets.
Right.
He had every right to mentor, disciple, but was never there. What if he would have stayed with what he knew? He would have never grown into a father. Because he would have stayed just being a prophet. He wanted to lead him, teach him how to be a father to the next generation.
Amen.
So amongst the masses, God is looking at the heart of the individual. Because when Samuel went to the house of Jesse, he says, it's not what your eyes see. I search the heart of man. I search the heart of man. That's how we recognize the sons in the masses. The heart of the individual. Now we know when Jesus was on the scene, he was feeding thousands, was he not? Many would go to him because they knew they were going to get fish fry. A fish sandwich, fish and chips. I think they were from London, fish and chips. Fish and chips all the time. Right? But the masses, there was a whole bunch of them. But the masses would leave. His sons would stay.
Amen.
The masses would leave.
Yes.
But sons will stay. You may have people come and go in your life. They're part of the mass. But true sons and daughters stay.
Amen.
You see?
Amen.
And then out of those sons, we had the 12 disciples. Out of those sons, he chose three to the intimate places. Did the other sons get jealous? If it was my Bible, mine reads different. John, the beloved, would have written things a little bit different. Because when you get in close relationship to your Father, it begins to make others take notice. Why was that important for Jesus to bring the three out of the 12? So he can develop the others to prove what is in them by seeing what they were not receiving from the Father. Oh, you better hear that again. The reason the pulling of the three separately was to prove what was in the others that they didn't get to being intimate with the Father. It proves the heart. It reveals the heart.
Amen.
I know we've all heard this. Oh, that church is cliquish. Your heart is being proven. Because if you see the Father always with a certain few and a small remnant of that remnant, and you're always saying that they're cliquish, it's proving what's in your heart.
Right.
You haven't become a son yet.
Wow.
Do you understand this?
Right.
True sonship says, I'm not there yet. What do I need to do to get there?
That's good.
I wish I had some folks up in here that understood. I wish I had some folks that really knew that, hey, I may not be there yet, but I'm coming to that place that I have an understanding who I am. And because I've been called and separated from amongst the masses, I've already been set aside.
Amen.
For my next position of sonship.
Amen.
You understand?
Right.
I may not be in the inner circle just yet. But I'm still in the house.
Right.
Amen.
So wherever my foot goes, that anointing, the corporate anointing, the corporate blessing still goes with me. Everywhere that I go, because I'm rooted and I'm planted and I'm submitted to the authority, I am a son of the house and I am not going to come against the house. I'm not coming against the Father. I'm not coming against the protocol, because everywhere I go, blessings are being released.
Hallelujah.
Now, I find it interesting, the story. I'm out of here. When Jesus sends out his disciples the first time, what did he tell them to take with him? Nothing. Take nothing. Oh, no, this is a good nugget.
Wow.
This is a good one. You're going. Take nothing with you. Take no money, take nothing, no belt, no nothing, take nothing, just go.
Wow.
What was the report when they came back? We casted out demons, we healed the sick in your name, and every time we spoke, signs and wonders were happening.
Right.
What happened? That is the model of an apostolic governing house. The Father sent the sons out with nothing, but because of the authority of being sent, they did signs, wonders, and miracles outside of the church. When they came back up with the report, and he said, it's not what you take with you, it's what I send with you, because it is my spirit of sonship that I place in you, that everywhere you go, the apostolic anointing of the Father releases you to do great. Make myself happy right there.
Amen.
Being sent.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
They came back with a great report.
Amen.
Now there is some other folks that went out to try to cast out demons that weren't sent.
Wow.
Came back naked. Beat up.
Yeah.
Say, Paul, we know. Peter, we know. Jesus, we know. Who are you? Don't miss this.
Wow.
Because you weren't sent from the Father.
Right.
If the Father don't send you, the demons, my God, they already know who you are. They're even ask you, do you know who you are? You're not someone that's been sent, but do you know you're not someone sent? Because you're about to be beat up, busted, disgusted, and stripped down naked, going back with your tail between your legs.
Why?
Get back in order. Of God make mistakes.
Yes.
When you sow mercy, you reap mercy. Best assured and rest assured, you're going to make mistakes too.
Yes.
You want the mercy back to you.
Yes.
What has happened through the system is we've made apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors put on pedestals.
Wow. Uh-huh, that's right.
Knock all that down.
Yes. Come on.
The Bible clearly states how the foundation is built. Mm-hmm. What's a foundation? Is it the roof?
It's the floor.
It's the floor. Huh. But a foundation is not what you see.
Wow.
The foundation is what lays underneath.
Yes.
That brings the strength to what you can see.
Yes.
Then from there you can build upward on it. To the very least, at the very top.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
For the longest time, we began to govern the church with the apostles, the prophets, the bishops, the deacons, the elders, the bishop, and the prophets, and the what was the other one they came up with now? Chief prophet. What's the other one?
Apostle.
Chief apostle. Oh, the evangelists are always out there. They're like, well, we ain't got to answer to none of these folks. We just mess things up and let the pastor do it. They bring a word, and they sign the wonders.
Lord have mercy.
Stop it.
Lord have mercy.
But what it is we need to build upward.
Right.
And as we build upward, we begin to build the kingdom of heaven from foundational truth, foundational structure, and line upon line, precept upon precept of the Word of God begins to build the house of God. It's when we come in with the mentality that we can go from house to house to house to house and never submit and think we're getting blessed. It's a lie. submit to the authority where God has placed you,
hallelujah,
you will begin to grow and mature in the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
What we don't like is because we've been cut before, and we figure the moment we begin to see the switch, the belt, or truth, we run. We run. Oh, Pastor Marty, he was always yelling at me. He was preaching about my life all the time. He was telling my business. Mira mama cita, it's the word.
Right, right.
Amen.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
If you think it's you, then it's the Holy Ghost convicting you.
Right. Come on.
It's good.
Why are you getting mad at the pastors?
Come on.
Well, he didn't have to share it like that. And when he said it, he was looking right at me. Now everybody knows. Like, everybody comes to see you. I want you to think about this. I mean, I wish we had a comedian come up here and talk about everything that goes on in churches. You walk in and you think you're the one that split the Red Sea. You walk in, that chair right there is mine. Y'all know it's mine. Why'd the usher put so-and-so right there? They know that's my chair. Entitlement. That's not sonship. That's not even honoring.
That's
not even honoring. The real place of honor is his presence in the house. That's what honor is. That means even the leaders, the shepherds, the speakers, the orators, are the ones that need to honor his presence.
Right.
Not their sermon.
Amen.
His presence. He's Abba.
Amen.
Yes.
So we submit to the Father.
Amen.
And let him share what he needs to share.
Yes.
Right.
Let us back away from our agendas and let him speak.
Amen. Right.
Then he'll let you gracefully go back into your sermon because he knows you want to hear your own sermon. And he'll mention it. I'm just playing. I was kidding. I know it's getting late. I'm going to close with this. Ephesians 6, 7 through 9. Verse 7 says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people. Because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. What I love about that is whether they're a slave or free. Whether they're slave or free, in the work that you're doing, do it as you're doing unto God, because he will reward you whether you're a slave or free. What was he saying there? Whether you're a slave or you're a son.
Amen. Come on.
Whether you're a slave or you're a son, he's still going to reward you. And that's what we have to understand. But the more we walk around showing our cuts, showing our wounds, look, I was wounded. I went to church so-and-so and they wounded me there. It happens. Guys, it happens. They're human. I'm human. I make a lot of mistakes. Oh, but look, I got the eraser right here. You see the multiple desk with the eraser? That means so many mistakes. Oh, my goodness. Show grace, show mercy, you'll extend that and extend it back to you. Get to the house where God has called you to be, submit to that and surrender to that, and you'll begin to see that the son begins to flourish and begins to grow and can begin to receive what is rightfully theirs. Amen.
Amen.
In the masses, Jesus knew who was going to follow.
That's right.
He knew, because he could see the spirit of sonship in them. And those would be the ones that would remain. Even though there was thousands, there was always those that continued to follow for great distances from town to town to town. They later became those that would begin to minister within those houses that were being built. Do you understand?
Yes.
Maybe they weren't named, called out, separated, but they became workers and servants in the kingdom. But because they'd served, they became sons. How do you transition from being a servant to a son? Being a faithful servant to God in everything that you do in the house, you move from a servant to a son.
Amen.
Do you understand?
Yes.
I say this because it is so important to us now in the era that we're in. There are so many apostles coming up. Hey, I know there's a reformation of the apostolic. I know that. It's in the atmosphere. I sense it, feel it. But how is it that we're going to make someone an apostle? 19, 20 years old. And being an apostle. Yeah, you may have an understanding of some things. You may be gifted and talent, but the gift and talent can only make so much room for you.
Right.
Your character still hasn't been developed. Your integrity still hasn't been developed. Still hasn't been tested yet. And then you still have to find out the things that you don't even know just yet when you get older.
Come on. Right.
That's true.
One of my biggest battles of becoming a pastor is I was young. I don't want to do this. I'm too young. I don't want to do it. I'm too young. And I got old. I don't want to do it. I'm too old. But we have to understand that God knows what he wants to do.
Right.
And in this reformation, the apostolic reformation that has taken place, I believe it to be a sonship reformation.
Amen.
I really do. We can call it what we want, coin the phrase, whatever. But I see sons and daughters returning back to the kingdom.
Amen.
I see that. Because if we continue preaching great sermons and praying and prophesying and all that, but we don't see sons return, we haven't done anything but play church. That's truth.
Come on.
We can get caught up in it here.
Yes.
We've got to be careful. We want to see sons and daughters come back into the kingdom of God. Maybe not in this house, but just in a house.
Yes.
Submit, serve,
yes.
And surrender.
Amen.
That's the key. We need to empty out the world and fill the kingdom.
Amen.
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 Stand to your feet if you would. Facebook, I'll close with this. If you're a son or a daughter in any house, be faithful. Serve. Pray for your leaders. Pray for your pastors, your apostles, whomever your titled leader is. Pray for them. Intercede for them for their behalf. Because you don't know how they labor for you.
That's right.
Pray for them. Please hear my heart on this. Because they need prayer. They need intercession. The attacks that come to them is to take the whole church. The attacks that come to you is to take your house.
Mm.
They're praying for your house. Pray for the house. Amen.
Amen.
I bless you. I hope this message finds you well. It's resolved in your spirit to know that you're truly a son of God and son, daughter of God. But you're also a son here on earth to the leadership God has instituted in your life. Go be a helpmeet to one of them. Serve, surrender, and raise up to be a son in the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
Here on earth. God bless you, Facebook. We'll see you soon. Hit that share button. Share it. Love you.